An update in the investigation into the first Trump assassination attempt. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. We'll get that in 2 hours from the acting Secret Service director. And Fox News has learned that Ronald Roe will hint at consequences for security failures at the July Trump rally shooting in Pennsylvania. 5 agents have already been put on administrative duty.
It shouldn't have come to this.
Right.
We have a responsibility to ensure the safety and well-being of the candidates running for president.
The House will vote today on Republican Congressman Mike Lawler's bill to provide the candidates the same protection as a sitting president. Vice President Harris will hold a rally in Wisconsin tonight in Madison, where Fox's Jackie Heinrich reports.
A new Quinnipiac poll shows that she is leading Trump by a single percentage point, but it's well within the margin of error. And on the issues, Trump is ahead. On immigration, Trump leads Harris by 7 points, 45% to 52%. And on the economy, Trump leads at 51%, Harris with 47%.
But in a new Fox News poll, abortion is the biggest issue for Democratic voters. And before going to Wisconsin, Vice President Harris will go to another toss-up state, Georgia, to speak out for abortion rights. Former President Trump told the Israeli-American Council, if Harris wins,
Israel will be faced not just with an attack, but with total annihilation. And I hate to say it so much.
Now, Israel and Hezbollah keep attacking each other today.
We have the sirens sounding as we speak, and people are scrambling to get into the shelters as the rocket fire is coming in. And this has been happening all day. And this the latest barrage of rockets seems to be in response to Israel striking deep into Lebanon. In fact, a Beirut suburb struck at an apartment building there. The target is said to be a top Hezbollah commander.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Tel Aviv. 8 deaths are reported days after Israeli sabotage in Lebanon, exploding pagers and walkie-talkies that killed dozens and injured thousands. The American soldier who fled to North Korea last year is expected in the military court this hour in Texas to plead guilty to desertion. Army Private Travis King was in North Korea for months until he was kicked out. America's listening to Fox News.
I opened a gold IRA with Noble Gold Investments. There's no better vote for your financial safety than precious metals. So Noble Gold Investments is giving away up to 10 1-ounce silver Trump coins or a 10-ounce silver American flag bar with a qualifying account this month. Just use promo code Trump. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, I'm going to let you in on a wireless hack that can cut your cell phone bill in half. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, they want you to think that unlimited data is fantastic. Well, the fact is, it's not. Pure Talk, my cell phone company, only charges you for data that you need. With just $25 a month, you get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 5 gigs of data, plus mobile hotspot. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and do it now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Save money, same service with
Friday from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. The Yuma Police Department hosted a school safety forum Thursday night to address the recent surge in school threats. Law enforcement stressed the safety of students and staff is their top priority, and they take all threats very seriously. Anyone who makes these threats are disciplined by the school and can be charged by law enforcement. Yuma Union High School District schools and offices will be closed to the public on Monday for a district-wide professional development day. All students are required to attend class virtually and must submit their attendance by clicking on the e-learning button located on the homepage of every teacher's Canvas page. Classes will resume on Tuesday. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. And don't miss Week 5 of Friday Night Lights tonight at 10:15. I'm Scott Gross.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU.
Average high temperature for this time of year should be about 102, so we're still below average for the next couple of days. 88 and sunny today, 65 tonight, up to 95 and sunny on Saturday, 69 Saturday night. Sunday back to 100 with sunshine, 71 on Sunday night.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Everyone's trying to get it right. Get it right. Everybody's working.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Another great Friday in Yuma. Got George Davis Sr. here, Tom Rush with Yuma Investment Group. How you doing, George?
Good, Tom. Feel like a senior today.
Yep.
Yeah. Happy Friday out there, Yuma. Beautiful weather, huh?
Yeah, it's really dropped from the last 2-3 weeks, so it's going to start.
It's going to get hot today, though. It's going to be 90.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, 90, 91.
Okay.
Right in there, man.
That's perfect, I think.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, I think it's beautiful. Well, it was, what, 110, and all of a sudden it went to 80 in like a day?
That's kind of weird.
That was pretty strange, man.
Yeah.
Blew in.
So the big news that's out is the Fed lower rates, you know, 0.5% or 50 basis points. Last time they did that was almost 4 years ago. And that's the big talk of the town.
3-3 of 2020, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it was expected.
It was expected. I think it was expected a long time ago because at the beginning of the year they were talking about, you know, the word was 5 to 6 times this year, and then they held off and held off. Now the funny thing is the Fed's supposed to be independent of, you know, any of the government agencies, executive branch or Congress. So they're supposed to act completely independent. But they just so happen lower rates 60 days before an election.
Yeah.
How independent is that?
Well, they've leaned towards thinking it may be political.
Well, I mean, I don't.
It's not usually done right before an election.
Yeah, it's not. But it does put people in a good mood if interest rates have gone down quite a bit, and they actually went down kind of before this happened because there's such anticipation that it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So money's cheaper, so that's good for home buyers, people that have debt, small businesses have debt. You know, markets responded quite well. It's pretty much at all-time high. So, yeah, it's for elections, you know, if people want to go into the polls and feeling good about themselves, you know.
But the markets know it's coming. So some they weren't surprised, so I don't know how high it's really going to affect it.
Well, yeah. The question now is, and it says the wind blows, is are they going to do it again before the end of the year?
Oh,
and you hear people, you know, half say it's almost mandatory, and then the other half don't know. But the way that the Fed guy's been doing it, who knows? I mean, they're talking maybe January, February, March, maybe another time. So I think it is unknown, but I just thought it was weird before the election to do it so soon, you know, so close thereof.
It's unusual.
Yeah, yeah, and it just makes you wonder, you know, who's pulling whose strings, right?
Right.
Well, the big question was going to be 25 basis points or 50. Were you surprised by the 50, Tom?
No, because
I think they should have done the 25.
Well, I think the consensus, I think 66, they always put down the probability, and it was like almost 66, 70%. Was 50.
Yeah.
Some thought 75, and that was like on the higher end, but not as much. And then
I was heard there was a big push to 75 because they want that big effect.
Well, one person dissented. One person said, now let's go 25. And that was the first time in quite a while, I think like 10 years, that someone on the Fed policy said no.
I wonder how many are on the board. I don't even know. 10? That has to be probably an odd number.
10 or 11? I think it's 11, yeah.
Can't be even, George. Stalemate. But I didn't know it was all or nothing. I thought it was all or nothing vote. I didn't know that.
No, it was not an all or nothing vote. One person.
No, no. But if one person dissents, they don't do anything.
No, they can overrule it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they like an all or nothing. It's been 10 years since they've had an all or nothing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So one person. Which, I don't know. Kind of interesting. Hey, I got some stats here from Carson here, Tom. But because they're talking about a recession or soft landing, you know, and. Last time they did a 50 basis point in recent was January of 2001, and that was a recessionary cut. There was a recession, so they cut 50.
Yeah, with 50's a higher cut than normal, right?
And the market for the next year was down 14%.
So then, what are you telling everyone should run to the hills?
No, and then in 07, but it's 01, yeah. You know, before a crisis.
But if they were in a recession when they cut.
Yeah, they were in a recession when they cut. Yeah, and these last 10 cuts, two times were recessionary, and then they cut for a recession, and the market really didn't, you know, had a real rough time. Most every other one is positive.
But that talking next year, the GDP number to be, you know, 2%, give or take, which isn't, you know, anything above 3% is considered strong, and But still, 2% is not a recession. So
yeah,
be interesting how they do that. Mm-hmm. The problem is if they cut too much, because you know they're talking about maybe cutting, you know, 2 to 3 times more. Then you run the risk of the economy heating up again, and then you're back into, you know, the same problem you were before. So,
well, they have a target, a Fed funds rate of, I think, 2.25 they'd like to get to eventually. So however they cut to get there. But I think it'll be, they started with the 50 basis points, and then I think it'll be 0.25%. Hopefully, if everything goes as planned, that's what they
want.
Well,
what is it at now? Do you know by chance? If it's 2.25? Is it 3, maybe?
No, it's a little bit higher than
that. 3.5
still,
or something?
Still 4. Close to 4, yeah. But
yeah.
So you mentioned, I thought it was interesting how you mentioned small or businesses, especially small business people that are, you know, it helps with lending and borrowing. What types of asset classes, Tom, because it's been a great run-up for large cap growth, and also large value's been, you know, getting some steam lately, but what type of asset classes really benefit from a rate cut?
Well, I know the small caps do for sure.
Yeah, because they're smaller companies.
Business
smaller
owners, you know, debt's a big deal. If you look at, like, the Russell 2000 index, it's really where it was about 3 years ago, so it hasn't really moved much. Unlike the growth companies, the S&P, the Magnificent Seven has really, you know, moved.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably going to go back into play on small cap should rotate back in. And like you said, value's been the big play the last 5 years. Tech value, but now, growth has been the big play the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to see value pop back up pretty good. But, you know, usually values do a lot better, and values are companies that are making money. They have, you know, cash flow, like, you know, Walmart or something.
Walmart or ExxonMobil.
But they usually do well if the economy starts turning bad, because, you know, people will go to those companies like General Mills, Chevron, where, you know, everyone has to buy gas every week. So it's,
you know, non-discretionary. So, like, stuff you kind of need. Energy companies, good example.
Utility would be good. Yeah. So the banks, I think the banks like rates going down. So that's another sector that popped.
Yeah, I find that kind of interesting, because the banks, you would think that the banks would want higher rates because they make more money on their loans. But then on the flip side, they're not doing as many loans because rates are high. So they're going to be making more money when rates come down because people are wanting to borrow more. So it's a volume thing as opposed to having the interest rate higher.
Yeah, but I also think banks make money by people keeping money in their accounts.
Yeah.
So if rates go down, they can technically lower rates immediately. Mm-hmm. And if they're paying the consumer, and I just throw a number out, 0.5% on an account, then they can lend that money out at 5-4%. So I think that's why they like it,
right?
Yeah.
And then also when they borrow from the Fed, because they'll borrow money from the Fed at the Fed funds rate. So if it's lower, they're making more too.
Yep.
Yeah. So yesterday Today's Friday. So Wednesday was when they cut the rates 50 bps. And the markets actually started off really strong and then ended up mostly a little bit negative, not too bad. But yesterday, people had a chance to digest it. And the NASDAQ did real well, which was tech, you know, technology companies. So technology, even the Magnificent Seven liked it that rates were down.
Yeah.
So the Dow, the S&P were all up too, but tech was the big winner yesterday, which I thought was kind of interesting too.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the rates for the mortgage rates and all that already started to move automatically with them knowing they were going to cut rates. And I'm also think the market's been moving too the last week. Mm-hmm. So it's now it's old news, right? I mean, the Fed rate is old.
Yeah.
So what about
bonds, Tom? Like, if I've got a money market and my money market's still paying north of 4%, why would I get out of the money market and get, you know, off the sideline to get into some bond funds, and I might want to extend duration at plus four, you know, above 4% as well, instead of just sitting in the short term money market?
Well, yeah. So most of the money markets only have like 30 to 90 days, whatever they're holding renews.
Mm-hmm.
So if rates go down within 30 to 90 days, you're going to be 0.5% lower. So if you can lock in or extend the maturity dates or go into bonds that are, you know, farther out,
yeah,
you know, 5 to 7 years or so, then that value will hold up a lot longer.
Okay.
Than, you know, 60 to 90 days, mm-hmm. which is what most of these money markets just keep flipping over.
Yeah, they'll flip over. So when rates are coming down, if you look at a longer term, locking in a longer term rate now before they go down.
If you ever looked at CDs, like right now, you know, you can get a decent rate at maybe 6 to 9 months. But if you tell them you want like a 2 year or 3 year or 4 year, like the rates are terrible.
Oh, okay.
So the banks are basically wanting you to go short term also.
Yeah, they're not dumb.
Lock that in. Hey, but we'll take our first break here. This is Money Talk, 5:06 a.m.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Welcome back to Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Beautiful day out there. Hope everybody's having a good start to their weekend. George Davis, Sr., advisor, investment advisor, Yuma Investment Group. We got Tom Rush here. Tom, how you doing?
Good morning.
Morning. Russ?
How old is Junior there, Mr. Senior?
Well, Jack is, I don't have a George Junior. I tried.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my wife. So Jack's, he's 13.
13, so mm-hmm. you just want to make sure he doesn't.
I'm an older dad. I'm 59.
You're the older guy.
I'm one of those dads that had kids when he was 45.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, thank you.
I'm 60-something, so I'm thinking about having another one.
Oh, well, I mean, keeps you young, right?
There you go. Yeah, that's just what I need.
You look like you're in plenty of good shape to be keeping up with them.
Yeah, for the next week or two.
Heard you had a birthday.
Coming up Monday.
Oh, coming up Monday.
Monday. Okay. Yeah, I'll be 67.
67. And I asked you before the show if you're going to be taking your Social Security, but your full retirement age was 66 in 6 months. We've talked about that.
I'm too young to retire, George.
Okay. You're waiting until 70, correct?
I like doing what I do.
And you get more money if you wait.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Hey, we're talking about interest rates here, Tom, and how the Fed's lowered rates. I got a question for you.
Sure.
You probably nail this one. What percent of homeowners have an interest rate below 5%?
It has to be high, right?
Yeah,
so
the way
I would
I'm
say, well, just, yeah, whoever didn't refinance and the down years was living in a cave or something, but I would probably say 85.590?
Nice. 85%.
Yeah. See that?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't tell me either, right?
Yeah, you nailed that one. Okay, one more. What percent have 4% or below interest rate on their home?
50.
60.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm pretty impressed with the 85.
Well, they're talking about eventually the mortgage rate going back to like 5, 5.5. Because I think it was at, you know, but 7, now it broke down below 7.
Yeah.
So now it's what, high sixes. So
mm-hmm.
so there's still some room out there, if you know, to go lower.
Yeah.
What's going to happen, though, is everyone's going to refinance because everyone who, you know, did a mortgage thing this year, once it drops some, they're going to go back and probably they should refinance their mortgage and get mm-hmm. the lower rate, assuming they're going to stay in the house for a while.
Yeah.
So.
And lower rates will help mortgage companies and realtors. You know, because people, the problem we've had last year or two is people have that low rate, and so they're sitting on their house. They don't want to move and be paying a 6+7% interest rate into a new home.
Yeah,
so
and even to qualify
on the market.
I mean, if you got qualified at 4.5 compared to 6.5, I mean that really puts you in a position where you had to buy a smaller house, or you didn't qualify for the house you wanted. Mm. So it's a big deal for people to qualify and to, you know, buy a bigger house. So
yeah. So I got some stats here for you, Tom, in Yuma. So this is all Yuma, which is interesting because usually if we throw out homes sold or average home prices, it's usually national. So I thought this was pretty interesting. Back in 2020 and 2021, number of homes sold in Yuma County, 3,300.
For the whole year?
Yeah.
For both
years? 2020.
Oh, 2020, okay.
And then 2021 was 3,600.
Okay, so went up by 20%?
Yeah. 2023, which was last year, 2,300. So it dropped by about 1,300 from...
About 40% or so.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, so...
How about year-to-date? They have that
1,780.
Oh, so it's even worse than the year before, yeah. Almost. Depends
well,
on the year.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
So...
Well, they say there's, you know, supply and demand issue too, right? I mean, I think there's still a... I know some of the builders are continuing to build, and I guess there's a, you know, demand for either people buying houses in Yuma or people moving into Yuma buying houses.
Well,
so
the builders are building like crazy. So what do you think the average list price is now?
305.
Oh, dang, Tom. 316.
Okay.
That's it just in Yuma?
Yeah, just in Yuma. Wow. 316,000 is the average list price. I have a friend that's in the industry, and he said that's even kind of low because they also include manufactured homes in there.
Mm.
So if you take a look at just mobile homes.
And Yuma has a lot of manufactured
Yeah,
homes,
and if you look at the average list price for a mobile home, this one might get you. In this year now, it's $188,000.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's probably what, you know, I know my first house in Rancho Sereno, I paid like $103,000. I did some upgrades and went to $106,000. And that was for a three-bedroom house in a nice, you know, nice area. So, yeah, what'd you pay for your first house, Russ? You remember?
$45,000.
$45,000?
Yeah, it was a small two-story condo in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, man. Wish you would have kept that?
No.
In Tampa, Florida?
It's probably what, $650,000 a day or something. How about you, George, your first house?
Actually, my first house was, I'm kind of a late bloomer.
You built it, right?
Built it, yeah.
So what did you pay for that all in?
Oh, geez, probably $250.
Okay.
$275, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that it was priced per square foot, and I think we got under a buck. Around a buck. And
yeah, under $100 a square foot to build.
$100 a square foot.
Yeah.
And
now you can't touch for like
$250,
the builder. Yeah.
But then I built my house, so we built two houses, and now this other one was more like $180.
Oh,
almost, a little under two. I got kind of lucky, but it was during COVID and the supply chain stuff. So I bet you now it's north of two.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you don't like buying used houses? Is that how it works, George? You always like to build or what?
It's just kind of the way it fell into place, Tom. Have you met my wife?
Want to be original here or what?
No, I didn't do the, you know, buy and then move up and buy and sell. So, how many houses have you owned in your lifetime? I've only owned
just
two.
Just two.
Okay. Yeah. But you built the one you're in.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And that was a pain. I mean, I'm not much into building or contracting or anything. So they could have told me the sky's red, and I've been like, okay.
That's created a lot of divorces, man.
Yeah,
building a house, that's tough. It's a tough deal.
Afterwards, I said, I won't do this again. I'll just buy someone else's house. Yeah. But luckily, I'm out on 2 acres, and this house is big enough, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So, flood irrigation is kind of nice in Yuma. So.
Well, when you built it, seemed kind of far away, didn't it? Now it's all pretty much everything's around it.
And, yep.
Yeah. So you were talking about new construction, Tom, and so the total new active listings for new construction is 71. Seems kind of low, huh?
So that means there's like 71 houses on the market right now?
That are for new construction.
Oh, new construction.
New
okay.
construction, sorry.
Does it say how many is on the market total, like per month? Because you got like 400, 500 realtors, so... I'm sure there's not 400 or 500 houses. So
total number of active listings is 604.
Oh, okay. So technically, it means.
And then 389 pending sales.
Hmm.
So
I know at one point there was like over 600 realtors in town. So that means that if you're lucky, you can get one listing. I mean, I'm sure the good guys get guys or girls get, you know, 4, 5, 6 listings, but got to hustle.
Well, there's certain, you know, times that, you know, being a realtor is real beneficial and the housing market's hot. Remember those times. But the last year, I'm sure it probably some people got filtered out, you know, where it's hard to get listings, especially if you're just getting into it. You're not necessarily.
Because you got to remember the cheaper money is for lending, you know, the velocity of money goes up. So people exchange money a lot more if rates are down. So rates going up for housing market slowed things down quite a bit from what I heard from the realtors.
Yeah. So the appreciation on basically number of homes sold from the previous year, in 2020 was 11%. So they were selling 11% more.
Yeah.
2021, 21%. So it jumped.
They're doing COVID, huh?
Yeah. And then 13% in 2022.
That's still pretty dang good, though, because 13%. I think historically residential houses in the United States, you went back 30 years, only go up like less than 3%.
Yeah.
Historically. But how about this year, does it say?
Yeah, 0.006. So basically flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means in the last 2 years, it went up, add those together, 11 and 13, so went up almost 25%.
Uh-huh. And 21. So 2020, 2021,
so almost 40%.
Yeah.
Dang, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
the other thing, you probably won't be surprised at this, but seller concession is at an all-time high.
Explain that to the viewers what that is.
So seller concession, so if I'm selling you my house, then you kind of have, because it's, you're the buyer, so you would have a little bit more leverage. I would probably give you some, you know, concede some.
So it's either a buyer's market or a seller's market, and at this point it's a buyer's market?
It's a buyer's market.
Okay.
So I would have to, you'd say, hey, you know, knock off.
Sure. More leverage.
Yeah. Knock off.
So when the market slows down, the buyer has the upper hand, but when the market's hot, the seller has the upper hand.
Yes, correct. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
So I would have to lower closing costs, or you would say, hey, George, fix these things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or even lower the rate. Yeah. Offer less.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. So, anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting because, you know, gave you some human numbers. So the average price now, let's see, sell price is, I already told you that one, 316. Yeah, so.
Did they say anything about the bigger houses in the market? Or?
No, they didn't move them. They didn't have them just for like old, you know, the bigger markets. But they did have some, let's see, condos and townhouses. And that average price is $236,000 now.
Yeah, dang.
So.
Well, you know, the thing that people need to start thinking about, because we're going to be in October here pretty quick, is what to do towards the end of the year as far as trying to get your financial house in order. So we can go through some of those items. The first thing you want to do is make sure that your 401k in that is going to get funded fully. And every year or so, the 401k amounts go up, but a lot of people don't do anything about it. So even though they think they're funding the full retirement account 3 years ago, they're not, because, you know, things have gone up. And that's something you got to do with through your payroll. So you got to have 2 or 3, 4 months ahead of time if you're trying to max stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't hurt to look at your pay stub and make sure you're maxing out your retirement account. That's what you should do right
now. Yeah, because the 401k max is, if for me, being over 50, is $30,000.
Yeah.
So it's $23,000 if you're below 50. So it's a pretty high number, and people don't realize what has gone up if they haven't checked recently.
Yeah. We hear all the time, you know, you're maxing your 401k, yes. Okay, what are you putting into it? $22,500. Okay, that's what you could have done like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So you're not maxing it out. You need to, you know. So that's one item, max it out.
And the other thing to add, Tom, is make sure you're taking advantage of the match. Because some people may, if it's a 4% match.
They put in three.
And they've gotten a raise or something, but they had a dollar amount instead of a percentage. Yeah, they're only putting in three or not taking advantage of that. But evaluate those type of things towards the end of the year.
And if your employer has it, try to put in by percentage, not dollar amount, which means as you get raises, your percentages will go up.
That's a good point.
Because dollar amount will stay the same.
Stay the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And if you're going to get a match from the match from the employer is always in percentage, so you might as well use percentage. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're getting it. The other thing you want to do towards the end of the year, if you qualify, is make sure you max out your HSA account, health savings account. And that's something that will carry forward for as long as you want, but help covers all the expenses that's not covered by the insurance. So, you know, eye exam, you know, teeth cleaning, mm-hmm. things of that sort. And that goes up every year also. So if you think you're maxing it out a couple of years ago, you're probably not. So, but that's great money because you get pre-tax deduction, it grows deferred, and then it's tax-free coming out if you spend it on medical. But we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Ra ra ah ah rum ah rum ma ga ga ooh la la what you about rum man's ra ra.
And Russ, you're expanding your palate there on the music.
Yeah, you know, Lady Gaga.
A little Lady Gaga there, yeah. I like it. Welcome back to Yuma Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Russ Clark's man in the board, doing a fantastic job. George Davis, senior wealth advisor, Yuma Investment Group, and Tom Rush is here.
Tom's morning.
Wealth advisor, founder of Yuma Investment Group, if you didn't know.
He found it?
He did found it.
Okay.
He was walking along and he's like, hey, man, I'm the founder.
Works,
yeah. So you're talking about HSAs, which is health savings account, Tom, and the limit for 2025 actually got announced. So if you're single, this is for single one person, the maximum annual contribution was $4,150 okay. in 2024, and next year it's $4,300. So it went up $153.
How about the joint?
The joint is $8,300 this year, and it went up to $8,550.
Oh, yeah.
So I found this kind of interesting. Maybe you can explain this. Minimum deductible for the health savings account to be HSA qualified, $1,650.
If you're single.
Yeah.
And then if you're married, it's like three or something.
If you're married, it's $3,300.
Yeah. So what that means is you first have to have a high deductible or you can't do one. And they just showed you for single deductibility and married.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have to make sure, and it doesn't happen that often, but with the kind of health insurance you have, that you qualify to do an HSA. Most of them will automatically, but you definitely would want to check because some of them, even though you have high deductibles, that insurance policy somehow won't allow you to do one.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't happen that often, but it could happen.
Uh-huh.
So
if you're over 55, then you can do a catch up one is $1,000 on top of the maximum.
That's you, right, George?
That's me, over 55. And I get to go to Fry's on Wednesdays, the second Wednesday.
Is it
of the month.
I thought it was 65. You get to do it at 55?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 55.
I waited an extra 10 years.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What's that Fry's now? The grocery store?
Yeah, you get a 10% discount
oh,
for being a senior.
Oh, day of the week or every day?
I know. It's once a month. I think it's once a month. I don't think it's every Wednesday. I think it's the
first Wednesday of the month.
First Wednesday of the month. Yeah.
Well, okay.
And 10%. Groceries are expensive now. You get 10% off. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Russ knows that. So Tom's too young here. Now, on the health savings, you talk about the advantages. Can I still set one up this year?
Yes.
And then I could just max it out or do if I find out
the funding
that I'm like,
comes from the funding comes from your pocket or bank account. So it's nothing to do with the employer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can fund it up to December 31st.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, do I get to deduct that off my taxes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And then
what happens on the way out? When can I use it?
Well, you can use it almost immediately. And they usually give you a debit card, Visa, or MasterCard or something. So whenever you go, you know, have to come up with extra money, like even for your deductible or, you know, say you go to the, you know, go or the store and buy something medically related, like, you know, just something off the shelf, you can use it for that.
Okay.
But if you don't use it, it just stays and it goes forward. So you can use it for the future. You can also use it for premiums for long-term care down the road. If you have long-term care, you can pay premiums for that. And then after age 65, you can use it like a retirement account.
Okay.
So you can convert it, you know.
IRA?
No, it stays in the account, but it's just can be used when you withdraw. It's taxable when you withdraw it, but they don't penalize you or anything, and you can just use the money. Kind of like a supplement for retirement.
So I can't take the HSA and turn it into an IRA and keep it tax-deferred?
I don't think so. Mm. Well, it's already tax-deferred in an HSA, so it's not a problem. Just that if you pull it out, there's no penalties after 65, but it is taxable.
Okay.
So it's not supposed to be used for that, but you can.
Right. But I could use it, like you said, for long-term care premiums or things later, you know, for health-wise, I could be paying for.
So the reason why that's such a big deal is, like, most of my kids had braces. So the braces were $5,000. So I can stroke a check on the side and just pay my $5,000, or I can pay with HSA money. Well, HSA money was pre-tax money, so give or take, you know, I probably saved at least $1,000 minimum.
Yeah.
So now I'm, you know, pre-tax is $1,000 less than after tax. So that's the benefit of the HSA. It's not having Uncle Sam tax you before you get the money. Mm-hmm. So,
how'd your kids do on that when they have to wear the rubber band part of the braces to fix their overbite or underbite? Did they have to do that?
I think so, but not as much.
That's Jack's stage right now, and he has to take them out and eat and then put them back in.
So, oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of a pain. He's pretty good at it.
His jaw doesn't line up or something?
Yeah, because he has a little bit of an overbite or underbite, and they put those rubber bands in there to correct that.
Sounds like he came from some bad DNA, George. Got some flaws there, George.
Yeah, well, I do have those. So. My wife's got great teeth, but bad sight. I have good sight and not that great teeth.
I don't think it's the rubber bands that they didn't like when they tighten them, right? Because you have to tighten them, and they kind of hurt a little bit. So
when I was a kid, I had braces. This is a long time ago, but they told me to wear a retainer, like almost like a big black mouthpiece back then.
Like school and all that?
Oh, really? Went behind your head and everything?
No, well, that's what went behind my head to correct the overbite. But no, at night.
You were one of those
braces.
Just at
night, yeah.
That was like, what show was that on? 16 Candles?
I need a picture of that.
But. Yeah, I should look for that, man. That's pretty funny. But anyway, okay, the HSA, the thing I find interesting, so Teresa's work at the high school district, they don't qualify because it's a 500 deductible, but they do have what's called a flex.
Yeah.
So you can flex. It's not as much as the HSA, $5,000. It's like $3,200. Yeah. But you just made up, brought up a good point with the braces. Jack's got braces, so we used the flex money for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it does save quite a bit. So an HSA is one of the things by end of year you could still do for 2024.
So what else do people have to do by the end of the year? What's coming up is if you're a business owner, there's still time to maybe fund some retirement plans?
Yes, there is.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, the 401k, if you have a safe harbor, that's pretty much passed. Safe harbor means that you're going to be having your company match. It's called a safe harbor 401k. I think it's October 1, but obviously that's really right around the corner. But if you have a non-safe harbor, then you can still open a 401k for this year.
Profit sharing, cash balance plan.
Now, if you're a sole proprietor, you're going to do a solo 401k, you still have time this year to do it. Actually, you have until tax time, including extensions.
Yeah.
So
when you start thinking about how you're going to end up for the year tax-wise, and if you're a business owner, it's a good way to put money away and lower your income. Put it away for retirement.
Yeah. And, of course, traditional IRAs, both Roth and traditional, those are up until tax time. So you do have time for that. But if you're looking to fund, not all at once, where you can just maybe can't afford to just max out, this close to the end of the year, mm-hmm. you want to have some time on your side. Like you brought up the point where if you're a salary deferral and it's going to come off of your paycheck, you want to have as many payrolls left as you can.
Sure.
So you're not just all of a sudden just putting it, at one time.
Yep.
No.
The other thing you want to start doing, too, is towards the end of the year, at least, is looking at all your insurance, because especially in house and car and other areas, insurances have gone up quite a bit. And if people don't think about them, they keep paying the higher premiums. But it might be a good idea to look if they've increased quite a bit and try to shop it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money to be saved if you can shop the insurance. Not only do you shop house and car, you can shop Medicare insurance.
Medicare's coming up.
People don't realize that. Yeah. You can shop Medicare. So that's, don't be stagnant.
Yeah. This time of year, Tom, you do a great job with, you call it harvesting profits. Or
Harvesting losses.
To offset with the profits. Talk a little bit about that. What would I be looking for towards the end of the year? Maybe it's been a good year in my portfolio, especially non-retirement accounts and or properties. What's something I can do to be planning for year end if I have some gains and I want to offset them with some losses?
So if you have non-retirement investments and they have losses, you can sell them, and then you have to wait 31 days before you buy them back.
Okay.
Or you can technically sell Home Depot and immediately buy Lowe's. So as long as it's a different company, they don't care.
Oh, even if it's the same industry.
Yeah.
Something's okay. Yeah.
But then, so any losses will go against your income bracket. So say you lost $10,000, they let you write off $3,000 a year off your income, and it carries mm-hmm. forward, so you won't lose it. You just keep carrying it forward until you use it. Or you can write it off any gains. So let's just say hypothetically, you sold something where you made $25,000, maybe you sold a lot or something,
yeah.
And then if you show $10,000 loss, they will offset each other. So not a bad place if you have some gains to try to find some uh-huh. losses to offset Uncle Sam coming after you.
Now, one thing that always confuses me, it doesn't necessarily have to be the same asset. Like, let's say I sold a lot and I made $25,000, but I had a loss in, a stock or something else that wasn't necessarily real estate involved. I could offset those still?
Yep. Yep, that's okay. What you want to do. And you have to sell it. I mean, even if you're down on something, to make it legit, you have to sell it mm-hmm. and show the loss.
Okay. What if...
Now, if you show a loss and sell something, especially in the stock market, if you buy it back within 31 days, it's null and void. It doesn't affect it. So a lot of people don't realize you got to wait 31 days before you can buy it back.
Oh, okay. 31-day wash rule, that's called.
Yeah, and that's weekends and, just count forward 31 days.
Yeah. What if I get close to the end of the year and I don't have 31 days, or I'm concerned the market's going to continue to go up?
Well, I mean, the other idea you can do is sometime in November, double down your shares. Say you have 100 shares of something that's down a lot.
Tesla.
Buy another 100 shares or match whatever you own.
Okay.
And then you wait 31 days and you sell. So if you do it sometime in November, 31 days would be in December.
Right.
So that way you're not worried about that stock going up in 31 days, and then you're kicking yourself.
Oh, so it doesn't matter if I double my shares and then I sell, as long as I sell this year.
Yeah, but you want to double your shares and then wait 31 days and sell half.
Right, okay. Yeah. So on this planning, I should make sure I do it by November, since I have that 31 days to wait. Yeah,
because if you wait too long, and you won't have 31 days.
Yeah, for that, okay.
So, things to think about, and a lot of times, if you're ahead of the game a little bit, you can make some moves and not wait till the end of the year, and then you don't have the time or that.
Mm-hmm. Just like we talk about in our financial planning, is plan ahead. And what's that favorite quote you like from Mike Tyson?
Oh, yeah. Everyone has a plan till they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see you liking that one.
So, you know, the big unknown out there is, you know, how's the economy doing, and are we going to go into recession, right? So maybe when we get back from our break, we can talk a little bit about that. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk, another great Friday in Yuma, and we're just here talking. One of the big items out there is, you know, where the economy is going and where it's going to go in 2025. You know, there's different projections on the GDP number, but everything is pretty much driven by American consumers. So
you mean for the world, or you mean for the market?
For our GDP number for GDP, the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
So as long as consumers keep buying, and even if they don't have the money, if they're buying credit cards, but as long as the consumer keeps buying,
even if they borrow the money,
the economy will stay. Yeah. Good to a certain point, but the question is, and I think too, is, you know, where will that continue, and jobs are starting to soften up a little bit, so the only, you know, people can buy because they get money for working, and if they stop working, that will have an effect on the consumption. So labor is a big thing, is what to watch on labor, and then with, you know, AI and things coming down the pipe, I mean, they're going to start shedding some of the jobs anyways, right?
Potentially, yeah. That, yeah. And automation and robotics.
Yeah.
Which, with the minimum wage, you know, California did that $20 an hour. And instantly there was a lot more money spent on robotics, you know, hamburger flippers and all that are all automated.
Yeah.
I mean, that hasn't come mainstream, but that started the process.
Yeah. I mean, you can get online and see all, you know, almost every industry is coming up with something robotic-wise to some degree.
I talked to the National Farm Bureau yesterday on air, and one, you know, some of their bigger problems is labor. And I said, well, wait a minute. You've got 8 million illegals in the country in the last...
Don't find them, yeah.
Yeah, it says none of them want to work. No, they're not even a source.
Is that because it probably came from a country that they didn't... work anyways, so they're kind of used to not working, right?
Well, they didn't help from the government, right? Why would you want to work?
Yeah, exactly. They didn't give a great explanation, but you're right, George.
They can live a low lifestyle and still be okay with...
Yeah, but that's not even on their radar to look at that, because they don't have any success there.
Yeah.
So living a low lifestyle here is a lot better than where they came from, too. Yeah.
So they let in, you know, they didn't let in the immigrants that want to hustle, huh?
So they're doing more and more. I mean, they're constantly looking at automation. We see that in Yuma. Yuma's leading the ag in a lot of respects.
Yeah. Did you see Elon Musk came out maybe a month ago with the Tesla convention in Dallas, I think Texas, or maybe Austin? And I listened to the whole thing on the podcast. And basically, his big move now is they're going to start making robotics for the house.
Yeah.
And it can do some basic things.
Zumba?
Kind of like a Zumba.
Roomba.
You know, as far as folding clothes, dishes, I don't know. But he was saying that his prediction was... robots and houses are going to be, I think there's 7 billion people in the world. Does that seem right?
Yeah.
He said it's robotics would be like 21 billion, three times the amount of humans.
And there'll be 21 billion robots.
Yeah, and it wasn't too far out. It was
everybody needs at least one.
It was
robot.
It was like 2035 or 40. I mean, it wasn't too far out. So that's going to be, you know, everyone, you know, this
must
Apple
be counting cars.
This Apple phone, when it got hot, everybody wanted an Apple phone, and we all know how that changed our life. But you know, if you have a robotic, you know, and that's going to be kind of expensive. I think like 20 grand, 30 grand,
the price of a small car.
Yeah. But then it's going to change your lifestyle on freeing up your time and making life easier.
But then,
so.
Then it could answer the door when you get home and say, oh, it's great to see you, George Sr., you know? Just brighten your day.
Yeah.
George. Make the voice any way you want it.
George, you look so handsome today.
Exactly.
Looks like you're losing weight.
See, I'm going to buy it now.
Well, they also...
40 grand.
They also was saying that these robotics are getting more and more human-like, especially the looks and all that.
Yeah.
And they're saying that some people will use them as companionship. So instead of having a dog... You would have kind of a robot that would
that's
kind of
happening.
Maybe play video games with you.
That's kind of happening with video games now. I mean, people are using that to replace interaction.
Conversations. Piece. Yeah, how was your day?
Are those called centaurs? No,
I'm going to get a robot dog.
Well, they have those in the war field. You see those little dogs?
Avatars are called.
You see the little metal dogs that run out in the war field and carry stuff for people and
like
stuff?
Yeah, like bombs and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, my mother-in-law lives with us, and she's 82. Uh-huh. She's Mexican, so she prefers speaking Spanish.
Sure.
But she doesn't, she'll talk to, is it Lexi, who's the little thing you can talk to and tell them to play music?
In Spanish?
In Spanish. She'll do it in Spanish for her.
Oh.
But her biggest thing is she gets bored. All she wants to do is sit and talk to someone. If I could get someone, you know, her age and speak Spanish and just sit there and talk all day, she would love that. So maybe one of these robots can do that. She wouldn't care if it was a robot. The robot just sits there and talks to her, and that's a companionship thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which is good, but it's also, again, breaks down, you know, the people-to-people humanity touch, I guess. But
yeah, well, I mean, they're going to get more and more on the human side. You know, that's what's going to be happening to them. That's the idea with the AI. Have you seen that Chipotle restaurant that put in the... makes your
avocado, a guacamole and all that, right?
No, the Chipotle has a robot that underneath the counter that shreds the lettuce. It does everything.
It makes
your whole burrito together.
Oh.
You know, or your little salad bowl, or your bowl thing.
Okay.
And it comes up, out pops it. It's just all by a robot.
I read that they made a robotic at Chipotle that does the avocados, makes it, cuts them in and meshes it so it's eatable.
With the labor, you were going to get more and more of that. With the labor costs, not just the shortage, the cost.
You know, your wife working for Cibola, you should get some of the Spanish kids that want to learn Spanish and have them go over to your mom's house. She would drill them in Spanish and see if they can stay up.
That's actually a good idea.
And it'd be good for for the student, too, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they just come over and...
Yeah.
And learn Spanish, and they're kind of forced to talk.
Huh. Maybe you could charge a student, you know, $25 and make some money off this, George. Turn it, you know, capitalism, right?
He was already thinking that.
Always an egg on. I like it. I like it even better now. So what about this, when they say that by 2035, you know, 11 years, because of AI and the robotics, that's going to replace 40% of the jobs right now?
I don't think people know, but, I mean, that seems... They do say by 2035, I read, that the typical American work week would go to 4 days, not five. And that extra day is due to AI.
Mm. We'll see.
But that would be a great lifestyle for people, right? I mean, I wouldn't mind working 4 days if all things being equal.
Then you'd want to work
20% more time?
Yeah.
Quality
of life.
Away from work? Yeah.
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 Well, you can play a little bit of pickleball, Russ.
I don't know how to. Never played.
I played for the first time like 3 weeks ago.
Did
and
you enjoy it?
With my wife, and she's not too athletic.
Did she beat you?
No.
Okay.
It's a dumb question. But anyway, she liked it, and she was actually more athletic than I thought, because I thought we played tennis before, but tennis is too quick.
Well,
so with pickleball, the little ball like is pretty slow because it's hard plastic. Hitting more than she was in tennis.
It doesn't get the speed.
But so we're going to challenge Teresa and George here to big game and big stake money.
Can I put money on it?
Yeah, you can. You can put money on it. But Teresa's the same way. She's not, you know, real athletic, and she loved it. We were playing with the kids. Yeah, but it's something you can do as a family. You don't have to move as much.
It's one of the big ones at the RV parks and stuff, man. They're
replacing
all the...
Because, you know, with tennis, when it hits the ground, I mean, it's fast. And if you don't have that quick reaction, it's gone.
Well, so it's racquetball, tennis.
Yeah, tennis. You have, like, lag time, so you can always take another step or two to try to get it.
And you're still getting exercise and moving and doing stretching and hitting.
Pretty soon you get a robot to do it for you, and you just watch.
Or you get a robot to play against you. There you go. And you can play doubles, good camaraderie.
Well, they're packed at the RV parks. You know, when I would go over there, they would they were always full. Reservations on the Pickle Park.
Same thing over there at the Friendship Park. They only have the four courts.
I knew they put them in over there. I didn't know how many.
They put four in there, but there's always people there waiting. They have tournaments.
The RV parks will have 10 just at one RV park.
Okay.
You know, they load them up because they're that busy. They're that popular.
Did you hear about they're putting in those indoor pickleball courts at Sears, the old Sears?
On 32nd
Street?
No idea.
Yeah, it's all getting, they're cleaning everything out. And I was like, what's going on in there? And someone told me that someone's going to open up, because it's big in Phoenix with the heat, but they're going to open up an indoor pickleball arena.
So you could play year-round.
Yeah. Yeah, you could play year-round in the summer. Pretty dang smart. I think you'd go over real
well. I may have to take that up.
Yeah, you
may.
Maybe
I could meet, you know, Tom.
Well, I can put some money on you. You can play.
Tom's much younger and spry.
Believe it or not, when George and I played tennis, and he played in high school, and he's better than me. Mainly on the serve and then how he strategically hits.
Yeah.
Not as mobile on the court, but he doesn't have to be because he can hit the corners or, slide the ball where you can't get it.
You get somebody like that, if your aim's good, just aim right at his face every time and it throws him off.
Yeah.
Aim at the feet. That's always cool. I coached tennis for 10 years at Yuma High School. I tell him, the hardest shot in tennis right at you or right at your feet.
Right.
You know, you're trying to, you can't do any, generating any power. But I'll tell you, Tom, he surprised me. I'd hit, back and forth, and, he's not a real small guy, but he moved around pretty well mobility-wise. Yeah, I was pretty impressed.
That's a good lineman that can go, 3 feet one way or 3 feet the other way. not much more than that.
It's good exercise, though. We all need it.
Yeah, so pickleball is going to be, wasn't in the Olympics this year, right?
No.
I don't think so, but it will be.
Oh, you're kidding me. Really?
Yeah, but it's going to be next year,
I think. It will be next year.
Hey, so that's going to be in L.A., right? Isn't it? I mean, that's close. Anyone thinking of going?
Mm, no.
Thinking about going?
No.
I'd like to go.
Yeah, it's a bucket list for me.
It'd be great to go to the Olympics.
It'd be cheaper to go to L.A. than to fly some other country.
Yeah.
So.
This last year it was in France? Yeah.
I went to... when it was in Lake Placid, New York, for the Winter Olympics, my wife and I went up there. And now we went up there a week before it started when they were practicing and got to see all the everything going on. We didn't really get tickets for the actual events, but I just wanted to go up and see what it was all about.
Yeah,
was that pretty fun watching ahead of time?
Yeah, it was.
Oh.
Well, they were doing all the practicing and stuff. Yeah. So there were skaters and people jumping off the high jump with ski jumps and stuff.
I hear the practicing is a great opportunity to have, because they're not playing a match or a game, so maybe they'll come up to you and give you an autograph or say hi, which is kind of neat.
But all the athletes were in the restaurants and mingling and all that stuff, so they were accessible.
My son's in London. He's doing his semester. Through U of A in London at St. Mary's.
Exchange
program, for college. Anyway, they took him to Wimbledon. They took him to him. One was there, of course, he got to hang out and see Wimbledon and the grass court.
Got
some pictures there. It's pretty cool.
George.
We are out of time. This is Money Talk. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
Bye. And he looks at her and says, hey, darling, I can remember when you could start with love. Oh, but ain't that America? You and me. Ain't that...
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.